Warning, this podcast uses some unsavory language. Please be advised.
From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from the Bell House in beautiful Brooklyn, New York, it's NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. Ask me another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Hi, everybody. We have four brilliant contestants. They're backstage right now trying to remember when Cinco de Mayo is. And soon they'll be playing our nerdy fun games, and one of them will be our big winner. We have two guests on the show. We have DeWanda Wise. And we have Taye Diggs. It's pretty amazing. DeWanda Wise, she stars in the Netflix series, which is based on Spike Lee's She's Gotta Have It. DeWanda Wise actually got into acting because she got in trouble in high school, and a high school teacher offered her either detention or to audition for The Music Man. Seriously, how lame are your extracurricular activities if they are used as punishment? Right, it's like you have to clean the toilet or edit the literary magazine. We're going to confiscate your iPhone or you have to lay out the yearbook, you know?
That's how I ended up on this show.
Yeah, that was... This is your parole?
It was this or jail, yeah.
Also on our show, we have Taye Diggs. Yes. Taye Diggs made his film debut in How Stella Got Her Groove Back. And I don't know if you remember this, but right after that, they had to quarantine Taye because a lot of women got their grooves back. And it was dangerous.
Yeah,
it was dangerous.
Yeah.
It was rough on him. Hey, this weekend is Cinco de Mayo, everybody. Yes. Celebrates the Mexican Army's victory over the French Empire on May 5th, 1862. General Ignacio Zaragoza delivered his famous quote, "We gave our lives so one day Jessica from Scarsdale can don a sombrero and drink a margarita at noon." Don't you remember his famous other quote? "For Jessica," he said, as he led his troops into battle.
It worked. He did it. He did it.
He did it. All right, everybody, let's play some games. Our first game combines famous thinkers and roast comedy, like Sigmund Freud, who invented the yo mama joke. Let's meet our contestants. First up, Julia Kaplan, you work in business development at a podcasting company. Okay, so everyone, of course, is trying to figure out what's the next greatest podcast, what is needed in the podcast world.
Yes.
As someone who works in business development, what's the answer to that?
So I think actually what's really needed in the podcast world is like some trashy reality TV style podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like... Podcasts are like very cerebral, very like academic in some ways, but like people are really missing out on just that guilty pleasure podcast.
Sure. You want to ruin podcasts,
yes,
is
I
what
do.
You're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic. All right, Julia, when you ring in, we'll hear this. Your opponent is Chris Sear. You're a stand-up comic and writer. Chris, you proposed to your wife in an Olive Garden parking lot.
I did.
Did
Very
she
romantic.
Say yes?
I mean, she's my wife.
Okay.
I mean, it worked.
I mean, it could have been...
I don't recommend this course of action, but it worked for me.
Yeah. Did she think it was romantic?
No, I mean, at the time, she didn't tell me it wasn't romantic, but over the last 20 years, she's implied it.
All right, Chris, when you ring in, we'll hear this. Julie and Chris, whoever has more points after two games will go on to our final round. Our show is 7 years old, so our first game is about childish insults a seven-year-old might make. It's called Sick Burns from Big Brains. We'll imagine what it would sound like if famous highbrow thinkers delivered lowbrow digs. So ring and identify the person. Here we go. In 17th century physics, who said, "Your mama's so fat, when she saw an apple fall, she ate it," instead of formulating the law of gravity? Chris.
Sir Isaac Newton.
That is correct.
In anthropology, who said, "You're so hairy, I accidentally studied you when I dedicated my life to learning about chimpanzees"? Julia.
Jane Goodall.
Yeah, that's right. It's a sick burn from Jane Goodall.
And not to devalue her work, but she looks amazing at 85 years old.
Sure.
Yeah, not talking to humans pays off.
In cartography, who said, "Your face is so distorted it reminds me of the northern and southern landmasses in my 1569 projection of the world map"? Julia.
Who is Descartes?
That is incorrect. I'm sorry, Chris, do you know the answer?
Who is Mercator?
Mercator. Gerardus Mercator, that's right. The famous Mercator projection.
I don't know how this turned into Jeopardy.
Oh. I was going to let it pass. It happens all the time, Chris. Don't feel bad.
It is. It's because we're doing a name and because it's the only thing you guys watch.
I'm just practicing.
It's fine.
I'm going there next.
You're going there next? In 20th century physics, who said, "You're so nasty that I helped create the first digital computers at NASA so humanity could finally get away from you"? This work earned me a Presidential Medal of Freedom and a movie called Hidden Figures. Julia.
Who is Katherine Johnson?
I'm going to have to deduct your daily bonus.
Sorry.
I'm not even using the right terminology.
Daily double, I think it's called.
Daily double, see?
That's how much we don't care about Jeopardy.
That's right.
We don't even know the terminology. Or we've never even watched the show.
I had to stop watching it because everyone kept calling me Ophira Trebek. Katherine Johnson is correct.
In literature, who said, "You're so ugly that I named my 1958 novel after how I felt when I saw you," and the novel is called Things Fall Apart? Julia.
Who is Chinua Achebe? Sorry, Chinua Achebe.
That is correct, Julia, yes. I know, now it's just ingrained now. We can't get out of it now.
It's a loop.
This is your last clue. In political science, who said, "You're so immoral, you're unconstitutional"? That's why I became the woman most recently appointed to the Supreme Court in 2010. Julia.
Alana Kagan.
That is correct. Yeah. Julia is in the lead. Great game. Our next game is about songs that sound the same. So this is an audio quiz called Doppelbangers. Every so often, a musician will put out a song that sounds an awful lot like a song that already exists, intentionally or not. So each clue is two songs that sound similar, played back to back. Every song you identify is worth 1 point. And you can tell me the song title or the artist, or both if you want to show off. And your opponent can steal any points that you don't get. Julia, stay in the lead and you're in the final round. Chris, you need to get more points or you have to listen to my ripoff of Baby Shark about an infant who informs on a drug dealer called Baby Narc.
Yes.
Here we go. Let's hear your first two clips. Julia.
The first song is by Marvin Gaye. The second song is Blurred Lines.
Yeah, that works. Yeah, that's great. Perfect. Marvin Gaye, Gotta Give It Up, and Robin Thicke, Pharrell Williams with Blurred Lines. Yeah, I mean, the whole theme of that is using something without consent, I suppose. Yeah. Here's your next pair of songs.
They're really rocking in Boston. In Pittsburgh, PA, deep in the heart of Texas, and round the Frisco Bay.
Chris.
That's Chuck Berry and the Beach Boys.
That is correct, yes. That's not just a snippet, that's the entire thing. Berry's name was actually added to Surfin' USA song credits in 1966. Get ready to be inspired by these next two clips. Julia.
The first song is Madonna, Express Yourself, and the second song is Born This Way by Lady Gaga.
Yes and yes. Madonna supposedly said when she heard it on the radio, that sounds familiar.
She was right.
All right, this is your last pair of songs. Chris.
It's I Won't Back Down and Stay With Me.
Yeah,
it's also Tom Petty and yeah. Not Tom Petty.
That's right. You did a Tom Petty, I Won't Back Down, and Sam Smith, Stay With Me. In 2015, Tom Petty said he had no hard feelings and that all my years of songwriting have shown me that these things can happen. In other words, he backed down. Okay, that was so close. You guys are amazing. And it looks like, Julia, you are going to the final round. Coming up, we'll find out who will face off against Julia in her final round. And DeWanda Wise joins us from the Netflix series She's Gotta Have It. I'll ask her what it was. Did she get it? And what does she gotta have now? I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR. Support for this podcast and the following message comes from MailChimp. So, you want to grow your business. Now what? MailChimp's all-in-one marketing platform. That's what. It has all the marketing stuff you need all in one place so you can save time and money. And it's powered by a marketing CRM so you can collect, organize, and understand your audience data. All to help you market smarter and grow faster. Learn more at MailChimp.com. Support for NPR and the following message comes from Westin Hotels and Resorts. At Westin, their entire reason for being is your well-being, which is why their wellness offerings are curated with one thing in mind, you. An Eat Well menu crafted with fresh ingredients. An on-demand fitness gear lending program that allows you to pack light and stay fit. And their heavenly bed, which helps you conquer the day by giving you a restful night. Explore at Westin.com, a member of Marriott Bonvoy.
Parents have a lot of questions about screens in kids.
When do I get him a cell phone? What kind of cell phone does he get?
It's really hard to take away an iPad.
Luckily, NPR's Life Kit has answers. Check out Life Kit from NPR's new episode on Screen Time by subscribing to Life Kit All Guides.
This is Ask Me Another, NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. Our first special guest stars in the Netflix series She's Gotta Have It, based on the original Spike Lee movie. Please welcome DeWanda Wise. Hello. Hello.
In Brooklyn, no less.
Yeah. So I read that you got in trouble in high school.
Yeah.
And your high school teacher offered you a choice between serving detention or auditioning for The Music Man.
The Music Man.
What did you do?
I was late every day.
Every day.
Like just socializing in the hallway.
Yeah.
Just hanging out. Just generally being the worst.
And so finally your high school teacher was like, I'm coming down on you.
He decided to like be my Dangerous Minds, you know, be my Michelle Pfeiffer. Right. And, you know, it was. It was very simple. He was like, I see promise in you, you know?
Oh, so it was someone that saw potential in you. It wasn't.
He did. He really did.
And you auditioned.
And I auditioned. You know, I sang a song that I don't remember. And I feel like I was like one of the pick a little ladies. You know, musicals are not my forte exactly.
But you did this one.
But I did it well enough.
Yeah. You co-star in a new movie called Someone Great on
yes.
Netflix with with Gina Rodriguez.
I did.
And you have known each other for a long time.
I have known Gina half my life at this point. We trained together at NYU. She was my first manager.
What do you mean manager?
So Gina, I'm putting her on blast. So Gina started interning at this like boutique management company, and she gave herself an alias, like a fake name, to pitch herself. Like, she's always been such a hustler.
So she's an actor and she needs money, so she works as an agent on the other side.
So she works as an agent. Yeah, we were all interning. Like, I was interning at a theater company in college, and she was interning at this management company, and I was her first client.
So she pitched
you. Never missed an appointment.
And did she get you any jobs?
I don't think so.
But that's amazing. I mean, that shows real tenacity, too.
Thorough.
Amazing. So She's Gotta Have It is coming back for season two on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
This series is based on the 1986 Spike Lee film by the same name. You star as Nola Darling, who is a sex-positive pansexual, doesn't believe in monogamy, my kind of hero. And I know from researching it that you initially turned down this role.
Is that out?
Sure is.
I did turn it down.
Why?
So I get the appointment. My husband of however many years it was at the time, speaking of polyamorous, I am not. So he was like, you know, I mean, I don't know how I feel about you having fake sex a lot on TV. So it was a conversation. Then I taped for it anyway because I did marry a feminist. And then when it became a thing, you know, I found myself in New York with my director session with Spike. And Spike just goes off gate. He was like, do you want to do this? And I was like, oh, this is real. And so in that moment, I couldn't say, yeah, I hadn't had the conversation.
Right.
So I said, no. I said, I don't know how much couples counseling costs. Like, I've never had to pay for it. But right now, I don't know if it's in the budget. So I'm going to have to say no. And then it was like that Friday night, the casting director texted me. She was like, hey, Spike is going to reach out to you. And I was like, whew, okay. So then the next morning, I get this text message, and it's like, hey, this is Spike Lee. And I was like, what is my life? Okay.
So Spike texted you and said, are you doing this, basically?
Yeah, like, and we had the conversation. Like, you know, over a couple of days, I read all the scripts. My husband will not watch the show. He has not seen a single frame, and we are fine with that. He believes in my talent. I don't need his approval.
That's great. Exactly.
So we got our little system.
The character of Nola Darling in She's Gotta Have It has been making men feel uncomfortable.
It's so great.
Since she first debuted.
They hate it so much.
Yeah, 1986 made people uncomfortable. Now, 2019, she is still making people, men uncomfortable.
I'm sorry to laugh with glee.
It is. Well, I was going to say, do you find it empowering on some level?
I mean, I do. I find it really funny, mostly because I think anything that people like regurgitate, or like at this point, it just becomes cliche, right? Like, you don't even know why you think or feel that way. You're just regurgitating something, some like respectability politics thing. And it's just, it makes no sense. Like, I'm not your wife.
Right.
Like,
why am I dealing with this?
And this person isn't real. It's a fictional character on television. So.
And they take it so seriously.
They do, which is beautiful. I mean, on one part, you know, I don't think I've ever been in anything where people have been like, had neutral feelings about.
Right, this is a very strong feeling.
Yeah.
So you are in the new television reboot of Jordan Peele's Twilight Zone.
Love a reboot.
Did you watch any of the original Twilight Zone?
All of it.
All of it, so you were a fan.
One. Mm-hmm.
Did you find them scary? Are you someone who found them scary or thrilling?
No, I'm not scared easily. I found them, you know, reflective. Like every episode I was like, would I be the person that would leave the diner?
Right.
Would I be the person who would get on the ship, you know, and get eaten?
In an interview, you were talking about your character in an episode of The Twilight Zone Reboot, and you said that you were surprised you hadn't played the role of Alexa Brandt before,
yeah,
because there's an element of your background that fits directly.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just saw a clip of the show, and okay, you're wearing a spacesuit.
I am wearing a spacesuit.
So can you clarify what this means?
I can, absolutely. When I was in high school, I was in Junior Reserve Officer Training Corps. So I was in the JRTC.
Oh.
And so I have and I come from a military family. I have a strong military background. I almost joined in college, right, to pay that very large NYU bill.
Yeah.
So I was super duper close to being in the reserves. And I've never played anyone who was either former military or military before, which I was just kind of surprised by.
Wow. So what?
Because it was on my resume, you know. No one reads your resumes. If you're an actor, they're not going to read it. It's fine.
They just like.
They're still going to ask if you could do that thing, and you're still going to lie and be like, "Absolutely, I'm amazing at horseback riding."
So did you not go the path of going the military route because you discovered acting?
No, I think I discovered acting at 15, you know, and so I continued JRTC because I loved it so much.
What did you love about it?
There's an element of performance.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you're doing the drills and you're learning all the, it's so cool. It's so beautiful. And also, I believe in service. I come from a service-oriented family. And, you know, when it's right, when it's under the right direction.
Yes.
It's, you know, it means a lot. It means a lot to serve our country.
Yeah, that's right. All right, okay. Duwanda, are you ready for your Ask Me Another challenge?
Ready to fail, let's go.
No, it's gonna be great. All right, Duwanda, your game is called She's Gotta Have What?
All right.
You're starring in a reboot of Spike Lee's She's Gotta Have It. So for your game, we imagined what would happen if the show was rebooted again, but with a different twist.
Okay.
So I'm gonna pitch you a reboot.
Lit.
And where we've replaced the it in She's Gotta Have It with a word or phrase ending in it.
Okay.
So if I said, in this reboot, Nola adopts a pet bunny, you'd answer, she's gotta have rabbit.
I'm gonna be adorable. So good at this.
Yeah. And if you get enough right, Austin Bordelon from Marksville, Louisiana, will win and Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube.
Why is the Rubik's Cube on me?
Yeah. It's gonna be great. Nola becomes a violinist in a Broadway production and sits in the area below the stage where the musicians play.
She's gotta have pit.
That's right, yep.
Killing
She's gotta
it.
Have orchestra pit, that's right. You're already basking in the glow of getting it right.
Doesn't take much.
Nola becomes a preacher in this series named after the lectern sermons are delivered from.
She's got to have pulpit.
Yeah,
is
that's
it?
Right.
My mother is a lay minister. She's very happy right
now.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, yeah.
She's giving you thumbs
I got you,
up.
Boo.
She's giving
I got
you a high five. Nola teams up with UK Prime Minister Theresa May in an attempt to leave the European Union.
She's got to have Brexit.
Sure.
Don't we all?
Is this happening? Who knows? And your final one, for some reason, Nola is sick of having perfect skin.
Oh.
And tries everything she can to get a pimple on her face.
I love popping pimples so much. She's gotta have zit.
Yeah! You got them all. Congratulations, Duwanda. You and Austin Bordelon both won Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube.
Yeah!
That's right. Duwanda will be back later in the show to play another game. She's Gotta Have It is streaming on Netflix. Give it up for Duwanda Wise.
Thank you.
Want our next special guest to play for you? Follow Ask Me Another on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. In our next game, we'll change the lyrics of Carpenter songs to be about wooden things. Does the carpentry match the drapendry? We'll find out. Let's meet our contestants. First up, Nicole Pometti. You're a video editor for a production company and you have a superpower. You can name all of the Best Picture Oscar winners off the top of your head.
Yes, I can.
Okay, so may I test you?
Of course, please.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. 1951.
Okay, so if it was the Best Picture winner of 1951, it was An American in Paris. But if it was the Best Picture of 1950 that was awarded in 1951, it was All About Eve.
Correct.
Can you do one more? One more?
One more? I love that you're like, no, no, I can do this. 2013.
12 Years a Slave, or 2012, sadly, Argo.
Sadly. Good. I like that I got some opinion in there. That's good. All right, Nicole, when you ring in, we'll hear this. Your opponent is Becca Stecky. You used to be a butcher. I thought this was so cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, so yeah. How did you get into meat mongering?
So I needed a job.
Yes. Good reason.
It was a job as a clerk at a meat counter. And I got really into what all of the guys were doing behind me, cutting the meat and everything like that. And I started doing it myself.
I mean, did you have to train? Was there a...
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess you do have to learn. There is like art to it, yeah. I would say.
I mean, now you've moved on from that.
I've moved on from that, yeah. I'm in grad school now.
Right, so.
For biology.
Yeah, so it sort of was your...
There's a connection there. Can't really say what it is, but there is a connection.
Becca, when you ring in, we'll hear this. Remember, Nicole and Becca, whoever has more points after two games will go to our final round. Let's go to your first game. This is a music parody game, so Jonathan Colton, take it away.
We rewrote classic songs performed by the Carpenters to make them about things that are made with wooden materials. Ring in to guess what I'm singing about, and if you're right, for a bonus point, you can guess the title of the song that I lovingly ruined. You ready?
Ready.
Okay, yep. Here we go. Don't you remember you told me I'd be a real boy? Instead, I'm this messed up zombie puppet kid's toy. I try to be brave and truthful, but I got no joy. Each lie shows in the size of my nose. Becca.
Pinocchio.
Pinocchio is the answer. That's right. And for a bonus point, can you name the original song?
Don't you remember you told me you loved me, baby? Is that the name of the song?
It is not the name of the song. I'm sorry. It's called Superstar.
That makes no sense.
Yep. That's the Carpenters for you.
Yeah.
Okay, here's your next one. Different from a glockenspiel, it's wooden bars you hit with mallets. If you write an alphabet book, it's either this or X-ray. Becca.
Xylophone.
Xylophone, that's right. Can you name the original song?
Absolutely
not. No. That's called Let Me Be the One. And when I have to do some math, I slide beads around this frame. A calculator comes out the same. I have to do some math. Becca.
Abacus?
Abacus is the answer.
That was sung at the speed of someone doing math on an abacus.
Yes. I thought I'd take my time and really sell that one.
That was great.
Can you name the song for a bonus point?
No.
That's called We've Only Just Begun. We tell jokes and wait for them to clap while you sit on my lap. You sound like me, but that couldn't be. My lips don't move. Becca.
A marionette?
I'm sorry, that is not quite what we're looking for. Nicole, do you know the answer?
Is it a puppet?
Can you be more specific?
Charlie McCarthy, whatever he was made out of, a wooden...
Yeah, all right, we'll give it to you. We're looking for ventriloquist dummy.
Yes,
that's
there
what
we go.
Now, Nicole, I'm very excited to ask you this next question. For a bonus point, can you name the original song?
Close to You.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't suppose you also know the artist who sang it.
Is it the Carpenters?
It is the Carpenters. Yes. Okay, here's your next one. When you play the drums, beware. Always use a wooden pair. Otherwise, you might get chicken on your snare. Becca.
Drumsticks.
Drumsticks is the answer. Becca, for a bonus point, can you name the original song?
Unfortunately not.
No, no. That was Rainy Days and Mondays.
I like the idea of musicians complaining about Mondays. Come on.
This is your last clue. Every cup of hot chai, every churro smells nice. Every snickerdoodle too, and granola you chew has spice. When your oats need a spark, you can grind up this bark. Take the challenge if you dare, but you might die. And enough will get you high. Becca.
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon, that's right. Becca, I hate to even ask, can you name the original song?
You shouldn't have even asked.
Okay. Nicole, just for fun.
I actually don't know that one.
Oh, what? Come on, Nicole. That was Yesterday Once More by the Carpenters. Ophir, how did our contestants do?
Great game. Becca is in the lead. If you almost got kicked out of William Faulkner's study in Oxford, Mississippi for lingering longer than allowed in an attempt to see his ghost, you should be on our show. Go to amatickets.org to find out how to be a contestant. Coming up, I'll talk to Tay Diggs, who plays a dad without a dad bod in the CW series All American. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
Support for this podcast comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age.
Meet us at the Bell House on Thursday, October 3rd for a live taping of Ask Me Another from Shrill and his podcast Anthem Homunculus. We'll be joined by actor, director, and playwright John Cameron Mitchell. For tickets and more information, visit amatickets.org.
Malcolm Gladwell is one of the most well-known thinkers in the world. But he says a lot of his fans don't know that he's black.
White people don't know. Black people always know.
How do you feel about that?
I find it hilarious, first of all.
Malcolm Gladwell on race, pop culture, and a whole lot more. Next time on It's Been a Minute from NPR.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. Before the break, we met our contestants, Nicole and Becca. Your next challenge is a word game. We mashed up famous books and movie titles to create some entirely new, not-so-faithful adaptations.
For example, if we said under the pseudonym George Eliot, Marianne Evans wrote this book about Antarctic birds, you would answer Middlemarch of the Penguins.
It sounds tricky, but the points are doubled. Becca, stay in the lead, and you're in the final round. Nicole, you need to get more points, or you have to read a book. Okay, here we go. In this Charlotte Bronte adaptation, a young woman moves to Thornfield Hall and watches as a mysterious golden retriever named Mr. Rochester helps a middle school basketball team win the championship. Nicole is just nodding. No. Becca.
So the movie is Air Bud, I think.
Okay.
Which means that the book by Charlotte Bronte has to end with air. Air.
I'm going to give you a couple more seconds to work it out.
Summer Air Bud.
Oh my, you are going to kill me when I tell you
Autumn
what the answer
Air
is.
Bud.
Okay. Jane Air Bud.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Oh. I was, okay.
Okay.
Based on a Virginia Woolf novel that takes place over just one day, this movie follows a middle-aged woman as she plans for a most excellent gathering and encourages everyone to party on. Nicole.
Mrs. Dalloway's World?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That was most excellent. In this adaptation of Louisa May Alcott's 1868 novel, the March Girls await the return of their father, a frozen caveman played by Brendan Fraser. Nicole.
Okay, Little Women.
Mm-hmm.
Little Women Blast from the Past. I don't know.
Okay, that was good. Becca, can you steal?
Little Women of the Jungle.
Oh, that's good. Very good guess. It's Little Women, Encino Man. That's what we're looking for.
Thinking of a different one.
Little Women and Encino Man. Here's your next one. In this Zora Neale Hurston adaptation, Janie Crawford's journey of self-discovery ends with a fight against a giant mutant reptile in the streets of Tokyo. Nicole.
Their eyes were watching Godzilla.
Yes, indeed. My eyes were watching your eyes. Get that. Satisfying. Nicole pulled forward and is going to the final round. You know our next guest from How Stella Got Her Groove Back, the original cast of Rent, and he currently stars in All-American on the CW. Please welcome Taye Diggs. Well, hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Ask Me Another.
Thank you.
So, Taye, you've been in showbiz for 25 years. You've had an incredibly prolific career from Broadway to film to television. So let's go back to the very beginning.
Okay.
You know, you landed your first Broadway gig in 1994 in the revival of Carousel, which won the Tony Award.
Right. Right. And then Audra Ann McDonald won as well.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep.
And then you originated the role of Benny the Landlord in Rent.
Yes.
You were in Chicago. You were in Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Hedwig. Yeah.
I saw you.
Oh, you did?
I did.
I feel close to you. That was a crazy time in my life, so.
So I saw you in an interview that you said it was an opportunity that kind of changed your life.
It was crazy. I had just gotten divorced. Everything felt topsy-turvy. I had been a huge fan of that show, but never thought that I'd get the opportunity to be in it. And then all of a sudden I got a call. And as I was listening to the offer, I was petrified. I mean, there's the accent, there's the heels, there's the makeup, it's just so dense.
You're wearing drag.
Yeah.
You're in high heels.
Drag. Yeah.
A tight denim skirt.
Sure, tucking your penis up places. And it's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. But, you know, as corny as it sounds, the most gratifying, yeah.
I thought that you were definitely the most muscular Hedwig of all of the Hedwigs.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
I was. I'm happy that they allowed that. But I really was just tripped out that they even had the foresight to think in that way. Because it never occurred to me that was a possibility.
Just for you to be cast.
Or any other black person with muscles, do you know what I mean?
Right.
So that was, that in itself, I felt I was very honored and humbled.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So we cannot not talk about How Stella Got Her Groove Back. The movie, Hard to Believe.
So old.
Yes, 21 years old.
Yeah.
Hard to Believe.
Crazy.
You play in the movie a 20-year-old recent college grad named Winston Shakespeare and the love interest to a much older Stella played by Angela Bassett.
Woo-hoo. Not too shabby.
Not too shabby. I'm sure over the years and still you've had a lot of aggressive women throw themselves at your feet.
Well, not at my feet, but of this. I mean, it's not that dramatic. Hey, oh my God. But, you know, now that you know, I've been lucky enough to have been around so long, now it's interesting because I get, I have had people say, you are my grandma's favorite. You are my grandma's favorite. You are my grandma's favorite.
You have a son, and you've written three children's books.
Right. That's
three
cool.
children's books.
Yeah.
Called Mixed Me, Chocolate Me, and I Love You More Than.
Yes.
What did you want to communicate to young readers through these books?
Chocolate Me was the first book, and it's based on a time in my life where I was very young and black and in an all-white neighborhood. And all of the kids didn't understand why my skin was different than theirs. It was harmless, but they called it dirt. They asked me why I was dirty on one side of my body and clean on the other. And that's when my mother kind of flipped the script and called me chocolate and made me feel better. You know, she made that five-year-old mind able to understand self-esteem.
Right.
So that's just had to do more with me and wanting to make sure that there was something out there for young people going through the same thing. And then the second one was more focused on my son's experience as a biracial young man. And the third was just for people that are away from their loved ones when they want to be closer to them more often.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I travel a lot. I should probably get that book.
Yeah, it's great.
So your new show, All American, on the CW, also on Netflix.
Yep.
It's based on the life of the retired NFL linebacker, Spencer Paysinger. Mm-hmm. You play the coach, Billy Baker, at Beverly High School. Mm-hmm. You recruit Spencer, who was formerly the star at South Crenshaw High in Compton, and therefore this is a big life change for him.
Yes.
You know, this is all true story, or based on Spencer's true life. Mm-hmm. And your character is a combination of a few people from Spencer's life?
Yes.
Did you meet these people?
I did. I met, Spencer, the main character, is on set. And, you know, he created it. And then I've met his father. His father was an actual high school coach, is an actual high school coach, I believe. So I was able to meet all these people and have them all accessible to me all the while, you know, while bringing my own kind of flavor to it. So I'm having a good time. We just got our renewal, the second season. We just heard about that. So it's great, you know. This whole getting older thing, it's I feel like I've just crossed over where it's more fun. You know, I'm the oldest cat on set, and I'm with all these really, really good-looking young people. And I'm playing all the practical jokes, and I'm silly. I'm the silly adult.
Wait a second, you're playing practical jokes on them?
Constantly.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like what?
Yeah. I like to scare people a
okay,
lot.
Great.
People don't like to be scared, but I think it's very funny.
You mean like popping out of someone? Okay, all right.
Yeah. That made me so happy. She's annoyed right now. Laughing, but annoyed.
All right, Tay, are you ready for your Ask Me Another challenge?
Sure.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Tay Diggs, please welcome your opponent, DeWanda Wise.
Welcome, DeWanda.
DeWanda, you're in an episode of the new Twilight Zone. Tay, you've written three children's books, and you both have recently appeared in romantic comedies. So we're going to play a special edition of a game we love on this show called This, That, or the Other. I'm going to give you a short plot summary, and you're just going to tell me if I'm describing a Twilight Zone episode from the original series, a romantic comedy, or a picture book from the New York Public Library's list of 100 great children's books.
Ooh.
Oh, God. We're going to go back and forth.
Yes.
We're going to start with you, DeWanda.
Thank God this isn't complicated.
Okay, so Twilight Zone, romantic comedy, children's book. Here
All right,
we go.
Ready.
DeWanda.
All right.
Someone named Alexander suffers an inexplicably high number of indignities over a 24-hour period.
Children's book.
That is a children's book. Yes, it is.
That was easy. That was easy.
That's called Alexander the Terrible, Horrible, No Good.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day.
Very Bad Day.
Okay, Tay.
Okay.
A sentient house becomes depressed when the countryside is overtaken by urban sprawl.
cat.
Romantic comedy.
I love that. It's a meet cute between a country and a city. That is a children's book. That is a children's book.
What children's book?
It's called The Little House.
Oh, okay.
This book is told from the perspective of the house, and at the end, its new owner literally moves the house out of the city and back to the countryside.
I gotta get that one.
Okay, DeWanda. A boy with magic powers becomes the center of attention in a small Ohio town.
Twilight Zone.
It's sure a Twilight Zone,
okay,
yeah.
That could have been a kid's book. Well done.
Called It's a Good Life. Yeah, that's when a 6-year-old boy with godlike powers
rules that one.
Everything.
It's terrifying.
Terrifying. Tay.
Yes.
A duke from the 1800s finds himself in modern-day New York.
Okay, that's a romantic comedy.
Sure is, it's a romantic comedy, that's right.
Leo, what is it?
Yes,
yeah, I just saw that, right. It was just on TV.
Kate and Leopold, that's
yes.
right. Starring Hugh Jackman as Leopold.
Hugh Jackman.
And
Hugh
Meg
Jackman
Ryan
did
as rom-coms,
Kate. Yes, he did, early on.
Okay, congratulations. Ooh, DeWanda, you won that.
I never thought I'd hear those words.
Yes.
But clearly, you're both amazing. Thanks again to DeWanda Wise and Tay Diggs, who currently stars in All American, streaming now on Netflix with new episodes airing on the CW. Give it up for DeWanda Wise and Tay Diggs. It's time to crown our big winner. Let's bring back our finalist, Julia Kaplan, who says podcasts need to be dumber. And Nicole Pominetti, who can name every Best Picture winner. 1996.
English Patient.
That is correct. Julia and Nicole, your final round is called Set It Off. Every clue is about a song with a parenthetical in its title. I'll give you the artist and the parenthetical. You tell me the rest of the song title. For example, if I said Beyoncé, Put a Ring on It, you'd answer Single Ladies. The big winner will receive an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube signed by DeWanda Wise and Tay Diggs. We rolled a 20-sided die backstage, and Nicole is going first. Here we go. Nicole, The Rolling Stones, I Can't Get No.
Satisfaction.
That is correct. Julia, Aretha Franklin or Carole King, You Make Me Feel Like.
A Natural Woman.
That is correct. Nicole, Kelly Clarkson, What Doesn't Kill You?
Stronger.
That is correct. Julia, Rihanna, In the World. 3 seconds.
Girls?
I'm sorry, that is incorrect, but close. The answer is Only Girl. Jonathan, how are contestants doing?
Well, so far the score is 2-1, and Nicole is in the lead.
Okay. Nicole, Silento, Whip, Nay Nay.
Watch Me?
That is correct. Julia, Ashanti, Ah Baby.
Foolish?
So close, I'm sorry that is incorrect. The answer is Rock With You. Nicole, Rupert Holmes, The Pina Colada Song.
Escape.
That is correct. Julia, The Offspring, For a White Guy.
Pretty Fly.
That is correct. We're halfway through the questions. Jonathan, how are our contestants doing?
Nicole is still in the lead. It is 4-2.
Nicole, Britney Spears, You Drive Me.
Crazy.
That is correct. Julia, Darlene Love, Baby, Please Come Home.
I'm Begging You?
Great answer. I feel like that came from within you. The answer is Christmas.
Never would have gotten that one.
Ophira, here is the situation. The score is now 5-2.
Yes.
Nicole is in the lead. Nicole, if you get this next question right, you win.
Huh. Nicole, Alicia Keys, I'm Ready.
Fallen.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. The answer is Unthinkable.
Now, Julia, I have to tell you, if you get this question wrong, you will lose the game.
Okay.
Julia. Lisa Loeb. I missed you.
You won.
The answer we were looking for was stay, but huge style points. Huge style points. Thank you so much, Julia. You're awesome. Congratulations, Nicole. That's our show. Listen to the podcast every Friday and subscribe. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by Madeline Kaplan, Emily Winter, and senior writer Karen Lurie, with additional material by Ashley Brooke Roberts and Kara Weinberger. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal. Ask Me Another's produced by Mike Katzeff, Travis Larchuk, Kiara Powell, Nancy Seychow, and Rebel Wood, along with Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. We are recorded by Damon Whittemore, Rick Kwan, and David Hurtgen. We'd like to thank our home in Brooklyn, New York, the Bell House,
Hot Heel Blues,
and our production partner, WNYC. I'm her ripe begonias,
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR. Hey, happy to hear you're still listening. And since you're still here, why not pop over to Apple Podcasts and write us a review? We love to hear from you, and it helps others find out about our show. For additional information about new episodes, upcoming live shows, road shows, and bonus games, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Thanks. This is NPR. Next time on Ask Me Another, we're in Austin, Texas, with actor Matthew McConaughey, and let's just say it was all right, all right, all right. He tells us about his new gig as the University of Texas's Minister of Culture. Then we quiz him about college sports mascots. So join me, Ophira Eisenberg, on NPR's Ask Me Another, the answer to life's funnier questions.